All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A good chodesh. So today's daf is Lamed Vav. We are 36. We are picking up Lamed Hem Beis 35V. And we're picking up five lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the following halacha. Yisrael haba machmas akum harehu ka'akum. Now literally, a Yisrael who comes, a Jew who comes on the strength of the claim of a Gentile, of a non-Jew, has the status, in this particular case, as a non-Jew. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Last Rashbam on the page. Yisrael haba machmas akum hareu ka'akum. Sode shako yodin, shahista shayisro. Talking about over here a field that everyone knew at one point in time belonged to a Jew. Alright. Ba'achla akum shalosh shanimu yoser. A Gentile then inhabited that land for three or more years, v'toin shalach chami Yisrael, and the Gentile claims that he purchased it from the Jew. Va'azel Yisrael, v'kanamehu akum, and then another Jew. So remember again, Jew one is the original owner. Akum then resides there for 3 years, at which point in time he claims that he bought it from Jew one, and then Jew two purchases it from the Akum. V'kanamehu akum. Jew 2 then lives on the land, right, for 3 or more years. So the Gemara is teaching me, lo havi chazaka. Jew 2 does not have a chazaka. Why does Jew 2 not have a chazaka? So the Gemara says, lo havi chazaka, ela asi mare da'ara umafik le miyadei di Yisrael. Jew 1 could technically go ahead and come and extract the land from the hands of Jew 2. The Yisrael lays over litba la'akum d'zabon minei. Jew 2 will then go ahead and go after the Gentile to claim the lost money. So the bottom line of all of this is that an Akum does not acquire land through Chazaka. A non-Jew is not able to avail himself of the concept of Chazaka. Chazaka is a form of Kenyan. As such, it is limited to Jews. Rather, an Akum, if he wants to go ahead and prove that he owns property, requires what? Requires the shtar. Therefore, when Jew 2 purchases the property from Akum, the only way he should purchase it is if he knows definitively that Akum has the shtar, Akum has the document of the sale from Jew number 1. So now back to the Gemara. So therefore, who is the name of Rav? That Yisrael, who comes as a result of the Akum, which is a reference to Jew number 2, who purchases the property from the Akum, and the reason he thinks that the sale is a good one is because the Akum has the years of Chazaka under his belt. Hariyu ka'akum. Jew number 2 is like the Akum. How so? Ma'akum eino Chazaka, ela b'shtar. Just like the Akum, Abosei can only establish his ownership over the land with shtar. Af Yisrael haba machmas akum eino Chazaka, ela b'shtar. So to Abosei, the Yisrael, who purchases it from the Akum, also only has a Chazaka with shtar. Fine. So we'll say, so a seemingly straightforward case. Jew 2 purchases it from Akum. If Akum has a shtar, then Jew number 2's claim to the land will be bona fide and solidified. If, however, again, Akum is only coming as a result of Chazaka, but an Akum doesn't have Chazaka, therefore Jew 2's claim to the land can be challenged by Jew number 1. Amar Rava, I.V.E. Amar Yisrael. Now Rava comes on and qualifies his statement. But if the Jew, this is Jew number 2, were to say the following, top of Lamed Vav, Lididi Amar Li Akum Diminach Zabna. So I'll say, and I remember in this case over here, Jew number 1 now is coming to reclaim his land from Jew number 2. If Jew number 2 were to say to Jew number 1, Lididi Amar Li Akum, the Akum, the Gentile, said to me, Diminach Zabna, that he bought this land from you, Mehemen, then ultimately again, Jew number 2 will be believed. So we'll say, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Tap Rashbam on the Vav and Aleph. Lididi amar li akum diminach zabna mehemen. Dimida asik adaite lemite hachi. Hachinami have matzi lemitan ana zabinta minach. Va'achalta shnei chazaka. Dimehemen hilchach malo l'shakir. V'kushta kamar. So we'll say, the Gemara says the following. That at Jew number 2 says to Jew number 1, I saw the Akum buy it from you, then ultimately Jew number 2 would be believed. Why? because essentially he has a migo. What's his migo? His migo is Jew number two could have said what to Jew number one? I bought it from you. So since he could have made that claim and he would have been believed, I also remember, why would he have been believed? Because remember, again, this is what we would call a chazaka shiyesh ima taino. It's a chazaka that Jew number two has been living there for three plus years. He has a taino. His taino, his claim of ownership stems from the fact that he claims that he bought it from Jew number one. So if he were to make a claim like that, he would be believed. Since he can make a claim like that and be believed, if he says that he witnessed the purchase he witnessed the Akum purchase it from Jew number one, he also would be believed. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Mi ika mi di ilu Akum amar lo mehemen, vi ili amar Yisrael mishmei da Akum mehemen. So comes along the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. What you're telling me essentially is that there is a claim that if the Akum himself were to make it, the claim would not be believed. But if the Jew makes the claim in the Akum's name, it is believed. And as well, so let's go back for just a moment. What did we just say before? We just said before that if the Gentile were to say to the Jew, I bought this land from you, again, in the absence of a shtar, the Akum would not be believed. What you're now telling me is that if Jew number two were to go ahead and show up and say to Jew number one, I saw the Akum, bought it from you, that Jew number two would be believed. Says Gemara, it doesn't make sense. Why should the Jew be believed to make a statement about the transaction of the Akum that the Akum himself would not be believed to make? Therefore, I will say, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph 36a, 4 lines down. El Amar Rava, rather Rava says, I Amar Yisrael Kamei Didi Zabna Akum Minach V'Zabna Nehele Meheman. Rather, Rava comes along and reshapes the statement. Rava says the following: if Yisrael were to go ahead and make the following statement, I saw Kamei Didi Zabna Akum Minach, in front of me, the Gentile bought it from you, V'Zabna Nehele, and I bought it from him. So I'm modifying this statement a little bit. So the Jew number two is testifying, I saw the Gentile buy it from you, and I subsequently bought it from him. To which the Gemara says, in that case, Jew number two is believed. I also remember, again, just the backdrop to this is Jew number two also has the years of Chazaka already. So now again, he has the years of Chazaka, and he's claiming that in front of me, Gentile bought it from you, Jew number one, and then Gentile subsequently sold it to me. Migo di boy amarle anaza bintiminach, and he is believed. Why, Rabosai? He is believed because at the end of the day, he has a migo, and that Jew number two could have just simply said, "I bought it from you, you being Jew number one." Therefore, he makes this claim because he has a migo. He is going to be believed. Fine. Va'am Rav Yehuda. Rabosai Limar goes weiter. From Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says the following: Haiman dinakit magla vitovila. Va'amar ezel igazra ledikla deplanya dezabinta mine. So this is the following. If a man comes along and has in his hand, magla rabosa is a knife, tovila is a rope. So he has a knife and a rope in his hand, and he says, he just makes an announcement, I am going to cut down the palm tree that I bought from Ruvain. Just making a public service announcement. I am going to cut down the palm tree that I bought from Ruvain. We'll say, what's now? Obviously, what that statement has two parts. Part number one is that he's going to cut down the palm tree. Part number two is the reason I could cut down the palm tree is why? Because I own it. Because I bought it. To which the Gemara says, Mehemen. So again, we'll call him Ruvain. When Ruvain goes in and makes this statement, he ultimately, again, is believed. Why is that? Because lo chotzif inish lemigzar dikla delav delay. We'll say a person would never have the chutzpah to cut down a palm tree that's not his. Meaning that there are certain things, meaning even chutzpah has its limitations. So apparently, again, the notion of cutting down someone's tree that does not belong to you, that's a level of chutzpah that we assume most people do not possess. Fine. So the Gemara goes right to Amar Rav Yehuda. What's around the same as Rav Yehuda? Haiman de achzik meguda de arudi ulevar. Let's talk about this in just a moment. Take a look at Rashbam for just a moment. Haiman da achzik meguda da arudi So listen to the way the Rashi explains this case. So obviously a major ongoing issue for farmers was animals coming into the field and consuming the crop. So what would you do if you were a farmer and you wanted to go ahead and make sure animals did not eat your crop? So you do the following. Well, listen to this case. So what the farmer is, it's actually quite interesting. What a farmer would do is, you would move back your fence a little bit, meaning onto your property line, and essentially you would leave a track. It's your land, but it's outside of the fence of your field, and you would plant that area. Now, you wouldn't spend too much time planting, you would just throw seeds, right? You just throw seeds, and whatever would grow. Now, the chap over there was, you essentially were encouraging the animals that would come and forage to come and eat from that area, with the hope that what? That they would be full from eating in that area, and not what? And not wander into your primary field. Not wander into your primary field. So what I say, the case over here is the following. V'imba adam v'hechsik ba'osa karka chutz legader eina chazaka diyocha lomar dechevan dechomash dechevan dechomad dezor avahu karka arudi ochale lo ichpas le limchos to lo achzik kidin mechaski in shi lefichach lo havi chazaka. So listen to this. So let's say I have that, we'll call it that animal area, for lack of a better term. That animal area, it's not in my primary field, it's outside of my primary field, and I purposely plant it for the wild animals to come feed there so that you don't come into my primary field. In the interim, what happens? Reuven comes along and decides to live there. Right? He sets up shop for 3 years, and I don't say a thing. I don't say a thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo havi chazaka. Reuven does not have a chazaka on that area. My taimo. Meimor amar called the zera nami arudi achlile. Because I say to myself, listen, this is not an area that I inhabit. This is not an area that I regularly use. This is an area that by definition is open to wild animals. So therefore, again, the fact that Reuven lived there, I didn't feel the need to make a macho. I didn't feel the need to lodge an objection. Because again, since this is an area that by definition I don't actively use and I cultivate for the purpose of the general animal population, I didn't feel a need to object because it's clear that Reuven is not making a normative chazaka. So we'll say you're going to see over here that Rabbi Yehuda is going to bring up a series of different cases where because the usage is non-normative, the owner does not feel the need to make a macho. He does not feel the need to lodge an objection. And because it's non-normative, therefore by definition, chazaka is not established. Next, from Rabbi Yehuda, similarly, achla or la'ina chazaka. Well, this is another interesting case. I plant the field. Remember, again, first 3 years, crops are off limits. Reuven comes along and eats the arla of my field. Eats the arla of my field. So I'll say, the halacha is that even if I did not lodge an objection, ultimately, again, Reuven does not establish a chazaka. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Achir, so that supports this. Achla orla shviyis ukilayim in a chazaka. The assumption over here also is people lodge objections when the usage, when someone else's usage of my property poses a problem to me. But if at the end of the day, the person's usage doesn't really pose a problem, it might be a nuisance, sometimes people just don't make a macha. So somebody's using my, we'll call it animal land, animal tractive land, okay, I'm not using that anyway. But again, my lack of macha doesn't indicate that I'm ceding ownership. Someone eats my arla, well that's usser. That's usser. So you're going to eat the arla. Listen, that's your problem. But again, my lack of objection to it, in no way solidifies your ownership. Next, Amar Rav Yosef, achla shachas lo havi chazaka. Well, this is another interesting case. Let's say someone goes ahead and eats some of my underdeveloped crop. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, achla shachas shelo himtin ad shetigdal hatvua ela gimel shanim katsra kishi shachas umachil behemto ina chazaka tishamit va'achav lo haya ochel kishar b'ni adam. So we'll say, Here's another example of non-normative consumption. Someone comes along and cuts down some underdeveloped crop. Because that's non-normative consumption, my lack of objection does not consolidate or solidify his chazaka. Amarava. So let's say, what you see over here is the following. See, under normal circumstances, what we've been assuming is that a lack of objection seems to consolidate someone else's usage, and by extension, that person's chazaka. What we're now seeing is that's only true if it's normative usage of the property. If the usage by definition is non-normative, then halacha lamaisa, my lack of macha, my lack of objection, does not create a chazaka on behalf of the individual. So therefore, again, person eats underdeveloped crop, which is a non-normative act. Therefore, by definition, that does not allow him to establish chazaka. Amarava, v'i b'tzar de mechuza. Rabbi said, if ultimately, again, this is taking place in the mechuza region, then, So the Rashbam points out that in Mechuza, in the Mechuza Valley, the Mechuza area, people were very rich, and they would often go ahead and cut down crop prematurely in order to use it as animal feed. So the point over here is, if you live in a place where it was normal to harvest the crop early before it fully developed, then Einach Hinami, someone's usage of your field and premature harvesting of the crop would in fact create chazaka. Fine. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Tafsicha lo havi chazaka. So we'll say, what's Tafsicha? Look at Rashbam. So about four lines off where the Rashbam gets why Tafsicha. Karka pesucha umaleya bekoim. Ve'ina motzia peroseha. Supposed to listen to this case. So chisa means, let's say, literally cracked land. Cracked land. So let's say the chap with cracked land is that it's not really so suitable and usable for planting. So what happens? So if I have this tefischa and someone else goes ahead and uses this land with cracks, then lohavi chazaka. Ultimately, again, this does not establish chazaka, since, once again, this is a non-normative use. However, apik kura, not however, but apik kura va'ayl kura, similar to say, if you plant a core of seeds, and all you get back is a core of produce, lo havi chazaka. So we'll say, this is talking about, the idea is whenever the amount of seed, right, is never proportional to the amount, well, it's proportional, but the idea is if you plant X amount of seed, the goal is you're getting X plus Y crop. If all you plant is when you go and you plant X seed, you get X crop, that shows a very small output. So the Gemara is pointing out over here is apik kura va'ayl kura. If ultimately, again, a person goes onto land, Reuben comes onto land, and he plants a core of seeds, and he only harvests a core of crop, because Rabbi say ultimately, again, there's no real yield from the field, lo havi chazaka. This does not constitute a chazaka. Now take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam says, apikura, second white line, the Rashbam, zarakor, va'ayol kura, v'liket bakor, so you planted a core of seed, you harvested a core of crop, v'hichnes labeso, techevan daleka harvacha, lo havi chazaka. Since, again, there's no quote-unquote bounty, there's no profit, therefore, again, the owner doesn't feel the need to go ahead and lodge a complaint. What's strange about these gemaras at the end of the day, what's strange about this whole thing is that we often come from the perspective of, if somebody's in my property, I'm going to lodge a complaint. Right? Clearly, again, they're operating with a different societal norm, where, again, sometimes there are people on my property and just didn't go through the effort of lodging a complaint. The point the Gemara is making over here is that Lamaisa, a complaint was often only lodged in the event that what? In the event that it somehow damaged me or posed a risk to my ownership. So Gemara goes weiter. This sugya ends off by saying, and the members of the Reish Kalusa, lo mechaski ban, they cannot make a chazak on our land, nor can we make a chazak on their land. So Rashbam Ravose points out over the following. If members of the Reish Kalusa inhabit my land for 3 years, they can't establish a chazak. Why? Because Ravose, just because I don't lodge a complaint does not mean I'm agreeing to their ownership. Why don't I lodge a complaint? Says the Rashbam, because I'm scared. They were very powerful, and therefore I'm scared to get them off my land. Similarly, we'll say, interestingly enough, living on the property of the Reish Galusa property also does not go and automatically establish Chazakah. Why? Because there were times that squatters lived on the Reish Galusa's land, and the Reish Galusa was happy to leave them there, let them work the land, and once they worked the land and improved the land, then the Reish Galusa got rid of them. So in other words, why not benefit a little bit from free labor? Therefore, you know, both say, essentially what it's saying over here is that when it comes to matters dealing with the Reish Galusa, whether it's acquiring their land or them acquiring our land, 3 years by itself does not establish Chazakah. One apparently would require a shtar ultimately to bolster ownership. The Avadim, supposed to remember again, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Avadim also one establishes Chazakah over Avadim after 3 years. Says the Gemara, Avadim Yeshlam Chazakah, you're telling me that an Eved, ownership of an Eved, establishes Chazakah, I should say Chazakah of an Eved after 3 years establishes ownership, is that true? Vamar Yesh Lakish says, Hagodros Ein Lan Chazakah, Bosei Beit Yesh Lakish is the Godros. Now the Godros are both animals, right? Flocks of sheep. Now, if you take a look at the Rashbam, it's about six lines in the Rashbam, in the wide lines. Hagodros inlin chazakah, godros tzon, v'chal davra hamahalik v'drachim. We'll say flocks of sheep, or for that matter, anything that walks on its own, on the roads or in the marketplaces, sheyocholomar me'atzmo nichnas, me'atzmo nichnas, o ato echnasto lebeischa v'achzachtabo, Eina chazaka ve'in yochol lomar lakuach ubiyadi va'avodim ahalchim heim b'chol makom. So we'll say, so we've established what Reish Lakish said, that things that move of their own volition, so having them in your property does not establish chazaka, which makes sense, because just because the sheep is on my field does not automatically mean the sheep is mine. Maybe the sheep wandered into my field, it just happens to be here, but lav dafka that I have a chazaka. So I, doesn't ever fall into that same category. Amarava Eilen Chazaka Lialter. What it means is, no, if something that walks on its own wanders into my property, I don't establish Chazaka immediately. Aval Yeshlen Chazaka La'achar Gimel Shanim. But there is absolutely Chazaka to be established if they stay with me for 3 years. Amarava. So Bosa, therefore, again, when the Mishnah says that Avadim have a Chazaka, yes, if the Eved is with me for 3 years, then by definition, I have the ability to establish Chazaka. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Vim haya katan muta barisa, yesh lo chazaka la'alter." Rava say, if the Eved is a baby in the cradle, then I establish chazaka of ownership immediately. Which makes sense. Why? Because the baby does not move on its own. Therefore, by definition, if the baby is in my property, it's my property, it's my Eved. To which the Gemara says, "Pshita, is that not obvious?" To which the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha." The isli ima. So no, it's different because why? Because it has a mother. Now what does it mean it has a mother? Samadatema Nechosh Dilma Ime Eli Sela Hasam. Maybe the mother, right? Maybe the mother is my shifcha. She came to work in my home, and what happens? She forgot her baby there, right? And therefore, again, therefore, who says that I have the chazaka? Who says that I own the baby? Kamash molad ima lo menashia bara. I was saying incredible gemara, right? Therefore, the gemara is kashal. No, mothers do not forget their children. So the idea over here is that lemaisef, at the end of the day, that child is in my rishus. Then, by definition, again, if it's there. That's an indication that what? That Lamais, again, I own that particular Eved, and I do not assume that perhaps the mother forgot her child there, because again, mothers do not forget their children. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hano easy, the achlu chushla ben ardam. Suppose an interesting case. There were these sheep who ate chushla. Now the Rashbam points out that chushla is so'orim kalufim, peeled barley. So says the Gemara, so someone's goats went ahead and ate someone else's, what we call Reuven's goats, ate Shimon's barley. Asamar de chushla tafsinu vavokato antuva. So I'll say, the owner of the barley, Shimon, the owner of the barley, seized Reuven's goats, claiming that the goats actually ate more than their own value. They ate so much barley that literally more than their own value. So therefore again, Shimon seizes the goats in an effort to go ahead and satisfy his loss, take care of his loss. So the father of Shmuel said, Yachol liton ad kedei demehem. So the truth is, Shimon, the owner of the barley, his claim is capped at the value of the goat itself. The boy, Amar lekucha osin biadi. So I just want to point out, this is obviously talking about a case where Shimon can't exactly prove the exact value of his loss, right? Because Lamais, again, if he could prove the exact value of loss, then he could prove that the sheep did it, and he could claim even more. Talking about a situation where we know that the sheep went ahead and ate the barley, we're not sure of the amount that the sheep ate. Shimon's claiming the sheep ate more than its own value. Shimon seizes the sheep in an effort to satisfy his loss, to pay back his loss. Avod Shmuel says that really the most that Shimon could go ahead and recapture is the value of the sheep. Why Rabbi will say? Because why could he keep the sheep? The boy Amar Lekuchos Hin Biyadi. Because we'll see he has a migo. What's his migo? His migo is he could have said that he bought the sheep, right, from Reuven. That he owns the sheep. That's the sheep are in his possession. Vam Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish, is that true? Reish Lakish says, Hagotros Inlan Chazaka. Yet we learned before Rabbi will say that property that moves on its own like sheep do not have chazaka, because just because they're in your possession does not automatically mean that you own it. Shiny easy, dimisira leroa. Sheep, or I should say goats, are different. Why are goats different, Rabbi Osei? Because goats often are handed over to the shepherd. In other words, goats are not usually free-range animals. They're usually handed over to the care of the shepherd. As such, they're not wandering around. Because they're not wandering around, if they're in my possession, I don't assume they wandered in there. Rather, I assume that I'm the owner. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, v'ha'ikat safra panyo, but there's the morning and the evening, where the sheep are not in the possession of the shepherd, and therefore they can be wandering around. To which the Gemara answers, b'narda tai shichi. We'll say, in narda, Arab robbers were common. Umeida umiyada liyada mishami. And therefore, Rabbi say, because again, Arab robbers were common in Arda, therefore, sheep were very rarely just allowed to roam around on their own, but rather, again, they were always in someone's possession. Therefore, in a case like this, where the sheep end up with Shimon, Shimon has the ability to seize the sheep in satisfaction of his debt, because he has a migo. What's his migo? He could have said, I bought it from you. And again, in this particular case in Arda, it would have been believed, because sheep are not free-range animals, or these sheep are not free-range animals, and therefore, because he has that migo, he is believed when he says that lamaisa, he is owed this in satisfaction of his debt. Fine. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shlosha Chadashim. So we'll say, if you remember again, going back to the beginning of the parak, one of the interesting machloksim we had was the following. What we established is that chazaka for land comes about, what we call 3 years, but it turns out that it's really three crop cycles. So remember again, we had a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, about how much time that actually equals. Rabbi Shmuel says, remember, 3 years means a minimum of what? Really means a minimum of 18 months. You need 3 months in year number one, 12 months in year number two, 3 months in year number three. Rabbi Akiva says, interestingly enough, it only means what? You only need really 14 months. You need 1 month in year number one, 12 months in year number two, and another month in year number three. So we'll say, so that's Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So it says, anyway, we're going to discuss this. So Rabbi Shmuel Amar Shlosha Chadashim. Lema, so what are they arguing about? So Lema Nir Ika Benayu. Perhaps what they're arguing about, we'll say, is the following idea. That can you go ahead and establish chazaka on a land through nir? We'll say nir means plowing the land. Is plowing the land enough of an action to establish chazaka? I mean, if I plow the land 3 times at 3 different intervals, is that enough to go ahead and establish my chazaka? So Rabbi Shmuel Savar nir lahavi chazaka. We'll say Rabbi Shmuel, who requires, who says that you need 3, 12, 3, says that plowing is not enough. Rabbi Akiva Savanir Havi Chazaka, and Rabbi Akiva, who says 1, 12, 1, says that no, plowing is enough for a Chazaka. So it doesn't make sense. If it is bra, Rabbi Akiva Ma'ir Yachod. The Shabbos say, if that's the case for Rabbi Akiva, that plowing is enough to establish Chazaka, then I don't even need a month. It shouldn't be 1, 12, it shouldn't be 1 month, 12 months, 1 month, but rather what? Amad Beis, Afilo Yom Echad. Nami, we'll say it should even be 1 day. You could plow an entire field, obviously depending on the field, but you could plow a field in the course of 1 day. Why did he say you need a month? Elo dukuli alma near lohavi chazaka. Rather, Abose says, the Gemara, everyone agrees that for chazaka purposes, plowing the field is not enough. Plowing a field does not establish chazaka. V'ha'cha peira rabba u'peira zuta ika b'nayhu. As Rabbi says here, the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is take a look at the Rashbam. Peira rabba v'peira zuka ika b'nayhu. Rabbi Shmuel svirleit v'havi chazaka ad sheikol peira rabba. Dahinu kishenigimra kalatvua. L'fichach tzarek shloshe chadashim kigon sorem v'shibol ashur v'adashim shigdilim v'gilim chadashim. V'Rabbi Kiva sara peira zuda. Then kigon shachas. Listen to this. Their argument suggests the Gemara is, what type of produce do you need to sow and harvest in order to establish chazaka? Rabbi Shmuel holds, he holds what you call pera rabba. You need a real crop. What's real crop, Rabbi Osai? That is something like wheat, something like barley, something that takes a minimum of 3 months to harvest and grow. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, even shachas. Remember, shachas is like an inferior crop that was used for animal fodder. It's even something inferior, as long as you could plant it and grow it, that's enough. So Rabbi Osai, so remember, shachas, the fodder, you could grow in 30 days. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, if in year one you have 30 days, year two, you have a full year, and year number three, you have another 30 days. You can get at least three crops out of that. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you need a minimum of 3 months in year one and year three, because that's the amount of time that you need in order to go ahead and grow a significant grain-type crop. And I will say that everyone will agree that it's three crop cycles that establishes chazaka. Plowing the field does not establish chazaka. Tan Rabbanan, excuse me. Fine. Turn Rabbanan, we'll say third wide line, lamid, third line, lamid vavamadeh. Turn Rabbanan, we learned. Nir eno chazaka. Says the Braisa, plowing a field does not establish chazaka. V'yesh omrim harayu chazaka. Others say, no, it does establish a chazaka. Man yesh omrim, who is yesh omrim who says that plowing a field establishes chazaka? Omer Rav Chista, Rav Achahi, it's Rav Acha. This sign, because we'll say, what did we learn? Nara shana vizara beis. Excuse me. Nara shana vizara. I just lost the place here. Excuse me. This ayah. Sorry. Nara shana vizara beis. Nara beis vizara shana in a chazaka. So let's listen to this case. If you went ahead and you plowed the field 1 year and you planted it in two subsequent years, or you plowed it in 2 years for 2 years and you went ahead and you planted it 1 year, in a chazaka. So we'll say this is not a case where what? Where you have 3 years total. 3 years total. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. 3 years total. It was a good try to hide behind Mr. Lichtman over there. Right? So what happened? So it has, well, it says, so you have a total of three years. So what happened? So remember, again, this was a combination of these 3 years. 2 of the years, let's say, you plowed and 1 year you planted, or 2 years you planted, 1 year you plowed. The point is, some amount of these chazaka years was actualized through just plowing. So the Gemara says, in a chazaka, doesn't work. In other words, for a chazaka, you need 3 years, ultimately, again, of sowing and reaping produce. Rav Acha Omer, Harizu Chazak. Rav Acha on the other hand says, no, it is a good Chazak. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? See that Rav Acha is the one who holds that Lamaisa, plowing does create Chazaka. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Sha'ilas kol gadol yadava amrali, near Harizu Chazaka. So Rav Acha said, listen, excuse me, Ravashi said, I asked all of the Gedolei Hadar, and they told me that plowing does in fact establish Chazaka. Amar Rabbi Rav Nachman, my time of demand, Amar Nir Havi Chazaka. What ultimately is the reason? What's the logic? What's the logic behind the opinion who says that plowing establishes Chazaka? Very simple. Lo Ovid Inish de Karivu Leila Are Vishasik. Because Rabbi say another person doesn't allow someone else to plow their field and remain silent. What does that mean? In other words, that it's not normal. If I see someone else plowing my field, that is an objectionable offense. That's something ultimately that I will say, hey, what are you doing? Therefore, if there's no macha, if there's no objection, then by definition, the act of plowing a field contributes to chazaka. That makes sense. My time of demand, domer nir lo havi chazaka. So I'll say, if that's the case, then what's the logic of the opinion who holds that plowing is not a chazaka? Neymar amar, kol shiyavo, vishiyavo, dikarbu layil bey. Suppose that the other logic is, look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Kol Shiyavo, Kol Shiva Vishiva, not Shiyavo, Shiva. Kol Shiva Vishiva, the Karbu Leobe, Kol Kisamim Shev Macharisha, Yachnisba, Kilomer halavai v'yachrosh harbe achetichla machroshaso v'tisrat ba'kaka v'achakach etlena v'zaranani. Also, the other opinion says, listen, if I see someone plowing my field, you know what I say? Just call me when you're finished. Right? Call me when you're finished. Then I'll kick you off my land. But if you're willing to go ahead and provide me with some field labor, what it literally means, call Shiva v'shiva de kargu at leo bay, put everything, every single spike of the plow into my field, meaning go right ahead and please feel free to go ahead and continue to plow my field more and more. And after you finish, I'll have no problem and go ahead and kick you off the field then. So we'll say, so this is a fundamental machlokes. Does plowing establish the chazaka or not? A fundamental dispute we see as espoused here. Shochulei b'nei Pum Naro l'Nachman bar Rav Chista. So we'll say the people of Pum Naro, which was a place, ultimately sent the following question to Rav Nachman bar Chista. Yehamden Rabbeinu, Rabbi teach us, Nira havi chazaka, olo havi chazaka. Is the act of plowing a field a bona fide act of chazaka or not? Amar lehu Rav Acha, v'chol gedoli hador amri, nir havi chazaka. So you respond, listen, Rav Acha, and all the gedoli hador said that plowing a field is a bona fide form of chazaka. Amar Rav Nacha bar Yitzchak, Rabusa lemechshev gavri, do you think it's a big deal to go ahead and enumerate a list of great people? Ha Rav Ushmuel bevavel, Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Akiva, Beretz Yisrael, Omri Nir lo havi chazaka. So we'll say, essentially comes out of Nachar by Yitzchak, and he says, listen, you know, Rav Chista, you're going ahead, excuse me, Rav Nachar by Chista, you're quoting all of the Gedolei Hador who say that plowing is a chazaka. I could also quote you Gedolei Hador in Eretz Yisrael and in Babel, who claim that plowing is not a chazaka, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Mas Nisinim. So we'll say, so ultimately again, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, the fact that they learn out that plowing is not considered to be a chazaka, so that to learn out from Mishnah from Raisa, Rav Mahi, we'll say, what is the case ultimately of Rav? Dam Rabbi Hudam Rav, Zuti Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Chom or Lechom say, Cheskasam Gimel Shanim Miyom Liyom. That the chazaka ultimately of land will be 3 years from day to day, a complete 3 years. Now, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, the ones who hold that years 1 and 3 need not be a full year. Rabbi Shmuel holds 3 months. Rabbi Akiva holds 1 month. This Gemara says miyom miyom miutei mai. But ultimately, again, what does it mean when the Mishnah says miyom miyom? Lav lemiutei nir. Lav lemiutei nir delo. So ultimately, again, does that not come to exclude the case of plowing? To come to teach us, I will say that what? That plowing ultimately does not establish a chazaka. Shmuel mahi. And I will say, where do we see from Shmuel that he of his position? These words are Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Akiva. Avacham, the Chachamim say, Ad sheyigdor shalosh kediros. So I will say, the Chachamim say, that ultimately, again, you only establish chazaka. Sheyigdor shalosh kediros, I will say, refers to the fact that you only establish chazaka when you plant 3 crops. Kediros, I will say, refers to tamarim, refers to dates. The yiftzar gimel betziros, or you harvest 3 grape crops. The yimsok gimel masikos, and you go ahead and you harvest 3 olive crops. But say, what do you see from here? You see from here that harisha, you see from here that near, that plowing does not establish chazaka, and that in order to establish chazaka, you mamish have to reap, you have to sow, and you have to reap 3 actual crop cycles. To which the Gemara says, say, they seem to be saying the same thing, that harisha, that ultimately near, is not a valid form of chazaka. May benayu. So what is the practical difference in these opinions? Amar Abaye, dekel nara ika benayu. Ultimately, again, the nafkamina between these opinions will also be a dekel nara. Dekel nara means a young maiden palm tree. But say, what's the chap of a young maiden palm tree? Look at the Rashbam. It's the fifth wide line of the Rashbam. Dekel nara ika benayu. Dekel yolda ubeto. Ubachura, the pachos migimol shalom shleimos tonos gimol palmim. Supposedly, interestingly enough, you could have a situation essentially of a young palm tree that could produce 3 crops in rapid succession. To the shmua havi chazaka begimol gediros. So if it produces 3 crops, even if it does so in rapid succession, in less than 3 years, that will establish chazaka. Whereas according to Rav, ultimately, again, three crops by itself is not enough. Rather, what? You require three actual years. So let's say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin, is that near lo havi chazaka, that ultimately, again, plowing does not establish chazaka, and that in order to have real chazaka, you require three crop cycles. Now, again, remember, we still don't know, the fundamental achlokas we're still dealing with is, we know we need three crop cycles in 3 years, but we also know that there are three different opinions as to what 3 years means. 3 years could actually mean three calendrical years. 3 years could mean like Rabbi Yishmael, 3 months, 12 months, 3 months, or like Rabbi Akiva, 1 month, 12 months, 1 month. But either way, it has to span over three calendrical years, and by definition requires three sowing and reaping of three crop cycles. The act of plowing itself does not demonstrate chazaka. All right, we'll stop over here. I'm going to send out by the WhatsApp. I'm just...